So the first thing I wanted to share was where I was at before I met Paul in terms of gay issues. And I think looking back, in lots of ways, I wasn't in a very bad spot. I had lots of friends. I was successful. I felt pretty happy with my life, very optimistic about it. I had long since come out to my family and friends. I was coming out on a regular basis to people, usually if they asked me, but sometimes even if they didn't. I had been a member of gay organizations. I had played in the gay games. And in many ways felt that I was ahead of the game, that I met a lot of gay people who, even after years of having gay relationships and living in gay communities, still seemed to be really nervous or shy about their sexuality, and I felt that wasn't me. But there was this problem that I had, which was that I had never been in an actual gay relationship for longer than a few weeks. And it seemed more and more unlikely that I ever would, and I really didn't know why. I looked around me and I saw people who were getting in relationships very quickly, both straight and gay. They seemed to do well in those relationships. It seemed to enhance their lives. And I had this feeling that I could concentrate on my life and my work and my family, my duties, and also my dreams if I could sort of solve this problem of how do I find someone to be a life partner, that having a life partner would give me a sense of calm, it would give me a sense of sort of home life, somehow it would stabilize my life, and it would allow me to concentrate on the things that I enjoyed in work and the things I enjoyed in my career. And so I felt that I was doing well in life, but I wasn't really living up to my potential, and part of what was holding me back was that I was single and I didn't know why. Another thing that I noticed was that in many ways, gay relationships, even just gay friendships, had the ability to upset me at certain times, to really confuse me, to really leave me wondering, what on earth is this person thinking? And what do they think about me? And what do I do at this point? I don't really understand. And this was not the case with almost all my other relationships. Like relationships with family and friends has been, those relationships have been fine and been very long-lasting and very close. But with gay relationships, I never was able to really get close to other gay people and really make friendships and relationships last. So I, to put it succinctly, I felt pretty happy with my life, but I felt I could move to another level if I could solve this one problem I had, which is, what is it about gay relationships that I just don't understand and I cannot make work? At least I cannot even make them last. Well, after talking with Paul, what I learned, I think the first thing I learned, in fact, I learned this before I actually spoke to Paul because I had seen some of Paul's videos and had already knew, I already sort of knew what he was thinking before I contacted him. But what impressed me about Paul and what impressed me about the resources he put me in touch with was that the level of thinking about gay psychology, gay relationships, and just being gay was a lot more sophisticated than I had given it credit for. I think back when I first came out, there was a lot of sloppy thinking about being gay, and there was a lot of lazy lifestyle choices. You know, people would just go to San Francisco and they would live a big gay lifestyle and everything would be fabulous, and either that or you were in the closet, and you just, you know, it wasn't the way I had really experienced life and really the way I had experienced being gay, but I didn't really realize that lots of other people were sort of writing and talking and thinking about being gay in much more nuanced terms and much more sophisticated terms. and really had something to tell me about myself as a gay person. And I didn't realize how much I had just sort of written off the gay community and gay psychology. And so it was good to talk to Paul, and it was good to delve into the resources that he put me in touch with, and realize that gay people out there who have been thinking about these issues like I have really good ideas to share. The other thing that I learned was that my childhood affected me in very fundamental ways. It affected my self-image. It affected the beliefs that I had. And it sounds cliche, you know, you go into the psychiatrist's office and he asks you to tell you about his childhood. And I had sort of, again, written off a lot of that as psychobabble, really not that important. You know, it's water under the bridge and we can all move on. But actually, there were events, there were moments, there were comments, there were dramas that happened in my childhood which had a really basic effect on the way I saw myself, what I believed about myself, and really explained a lot of my behavior. And it turns out that there are a lot of people out there, both gay and straight, who exhibited a lot of the same behavior I did in terms of getting upset at certain moments and certain interactions and not understanding where that's coming from. And so there was this sort of connection between things that happened in my childhood and my inability to emotionally regulate. And that's another big thing I learned, was just this concept of emotional regulation. Setting yourself up so that you don't have these moments where you're just kind of getting out of control with your emotions. No matter how much you may or may not show those emotions, they're coming through in lots of ways. And you know, we need to find ways to regulate those emotions so that we stay on top of these things and we're able to make good decisions every day. So I learned that thinking on these issues was very sophisticated out there. I learned that I had events in my childhood which had a really distinct effect on my self-image and my beliefs about myself, and that I needed to learn how to emotionally self-regulate. I think also in this sort of array of lessons was this idea of having a self-image at all, and having a strong self-image, and having sort of a boundary around that self-image, and a self-image that is independent of what other people say about me or do towards me or my own achievements. That was a big lesson, that all these achievements that I've been sort of piling up really are separate from this core person. So one of the things that Paul really got me to think about was, who is this core person who basically was here at about 10 years old and is still there? What are the boundaries around that person? What are the standards that this person has? What does this person believe about their own ability to be loved or not? And I realized that the core person, the basis of my self-image and my beliefs about myself, was very weak. And that was a real insight, that I had this weak self-image with lots of strengths piled up on top of it, but still a fundamentally weak self-image. And so Paul didn't act as a psychiatrist. He basically put me in touch with all of these different resources that I could work on my own, and he provides a lot of materials that you can plug into throughout the week or 2 weeks between conversations with him, and through those resources I was able to really get in touch with a lot of the issues and the solutions to these issues with myself. So that was a big thing that I learned, was just my self-image, the way that I was affected by my childhood, and how this affected my ability to emotionally regulate. The greatest benefit of interacting with Paul has been, I would say, a new sense of anticipation or hope or I would say, a positive view of the future in terms of relationships. He is focused on action, so usually by the time I speak with him, by the time of my next conversation with him, I usually have some issue or something that's upsetting me. Sometimes between conversations I have these things, and he's very responsive, and he gives me an action item, like just call this person, or wait a day, or why don't you do this, or here's something you need to think about. You know, here's a thought that maybe you haven't thought of yet. And so he's giving me action items, he's giving me things I can do, and those have worked. I mean, the advice he's given has actually worked, and so it's given me a sense of like, oh yeah, you know, I've been caught up in my own thoughts and my own negative fantasies about what's going on in someone else's mind, but in fact, those aren't true. And there are a lot of things out there in the world that get me down that simply aren't true. And so now that I've kind of dropped some of those false beliefs about the world, I see that the world is full of abundance, full of possibilities, that the conflicts I have with my boss or with my friends or potential relationships are not the end of the world. They're often based upon misconceptions about what they're thinking and misconceptions about what the world holds for me. So I think Paul has gotten me closer to the point where actually I don't need him anymore, where I can actually regulate my own emotions. I can soothe myself when things upset me. I can refocus on the positive aspects of my life. And I don't feel so upset that I need to reach out to him right away. It's still good to talk to him because as I experience new things, I have new issues I want to talk to him about. But some of the really basic problems I was having just in terms of communication with gay men, I feel now I can manage a lot better just in the few conversations and the few weeks I've been interacting with Paul.